Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Man, isn't that song just incredibly powerful? I love that song so much, and how it speaks of God's goodness. And it was such a reminder. I hope you guys didn't see me back there, but I was dancing, my hands were going. Like, it was just, this song got me a little fired up this morning, because just how good He is, and how even in the fire, it is in those moments of great need that we get to experience a side of Jesus that maybe we would have never experienced before. Because in that hurt and in that trial, we get to experience a Savior who is there, who is good, and who walks with us. And so, let me pray for us this morning. Y'all get me excited. I'm already about to preach. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in and continue on with our Joseph series. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for the opportunity to worship You, God. Thank You for being with us in the trial. God, thank You for holding back the seas. God, thank You for being with us in the fire, and that You love us so much. God, I pray that You will open our hearts for Your word and for Your message today. I pray that I will decrease so that You may increase, God. And I pray that as we walk in today, maybe we're carrying just so much weight of the world. God, I pray that we can take the next few moments and lay those at Your feet and walk out of this place encouraged in Your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. We're going to jump in. I'm going to grab my little stand here. We're going to get going. My name is Daniel Cazenave. I'm the lead pastor here at the Bridge Church. And we are honored that you would be with us here this morning. They're telling me my other mic's not on, so I'm going to do that. If you notice, I do this a lot. So bear with me, and we're good to go. So last week, was that a good word last week? Pastor Jason came and just spoke to us. Wasn't that awesome? Just a great word, great way to set up this series. And so today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bibles, iPads, cell phones, whatever that is, we're going to put it on the screens for you behind you as well. And then we're going to jump in. But could you give me a few minutes? We'll get there. To what that may look like. Is everybody's summer going okay? Mm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of things are moving and shaking. You know, over the summer, people traveling, people moving, people having babies, you know, like just over and out. It's just a lot of things happening. And so we're honored that you would take the time out of your busy, busy schedules and just soak in God's word for a few minutes. And that's my prayer today through this time. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had a dream? And what I mean by a dream, have you ever had a vision or a dream, maybe for your life, where maybe even God implanted something in your heart, implanted something in your mind? Maybe it started out as a thought, but started out as a career path option, started out as relationship goals, or whatever it may have been like, but you had a dream or a vision before you and before your life where you said, okay, I think I'm beginning to see, I think God's starting to give me some direction, and I'm starting to draw up a passion for this particular direction in my life. Or maybe, hey, I had this dream, I had this idea, and maybe it's changed, because I remember when I was a kid, I was going to the NFL. You couldn't talk me out of it. I was going to be in the NFL. I was going to be like Herschel Walker at Georgia. You saw Jason's jersey. That's a nice jersey. Go Dawgs. But I was going to be like Herschel Walker. Blow in, like, that was my dream. Of course, as I got older and realized that everybody else was getting faster, that started to change a little bit and shift there. But I believe we have the dreams. And as we get older, I believe God starts to put things on our hearts and on our minds. And maybe you're in the situation where you put that dream on the back shelf. Maybe where you said, hey, well, I have a dream, I have a vision, but I'm just not sure if the timing's right. I'm not sure if I should pursue it right now, but I'm just going to kind of place that thing back there on the shelf. And we'll come back to it when I feel like the timing is right. Or maybe you have a dream for your life, but you just sit back and you're going, okay, this is not working out how I thought. Like, I had this idea of where I should be going, of what this should look like, and the timing that it should happen, and it is just not happening the way that I thought. And for me, sometimes I can step back and go, okay, God, I believe this is maybe a God-given dream, but yet this is still happening right now. Like, how can this be? How is this happening? How am I still struggling? How are the places not coming together? The dots not crossing? God, something is not right. Did I not hear you right? about, are my passions off base? Maybe you've wondered and thought these questions before. Maybe, hey, God, this is not supposed to be together. I don't know what this looks like. But I believe that there is a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph who, we learned last week, God implanted a dream and a vision, and he got a little excited and started telling everybody, right? And it caused him a little bit of trouble. But his brother said, hey, what are you talking about? Like, you are one of the babies of the family. He was number 11 of 12 children. And to what a guy we have come to know as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Jacob was his dad. And so it's a pretty big deal, pretty big family line. And now we get to Joseph, and he has a special place in Jacob's heart, as we learned last week. And yet his brothers say, I cannot believe this. And so they get upset with him because his dad truly treats him as one of the favorites. You know, sometimes we play around like that. But in this family, they weren't playing around. They were like, he's my favorite. There we go. Everybody knows it. And then on top of that, Joseph starts having these dreams. But what I love about this, about the story, is that Joseph didn't just wake up one day and go, this is going to happen. You are all going to bow down to me, right? Like, everybody wishes that would happen. But in this story, God gives him this dream. He implants this vision inside of his heart. And God says, hey, this is what I'm going to do. You're like, I'm going to give you power and influence over the people around you. And you may not know what it looks like. And Joseph gets excited and starts sharing that with his family, even his dad. And his dad's like, whoa, you're crazy, kid. Like, you're not going to go, they're not going to do that. That's not even going to happen. His brothers get so upset. They sell him into slavery. He goes to the Ishmaelites first, and then they see an opportunity because he's young, he's got muscles, and he can do a lot of work, and they get to the Egyptians' house and Egyptians' area, and a guy named Potiphar, some of his people find him and say, hey, we'll buy this man. And so now we get to Genesis 39, where Joseph has been sold to the Ishmaelites. Now he's been sold to the family or the leadership of this guy named Potiphar, who would have been, he's not Pharaoh, but he's one of the lead guys who goes for a lot in Egypt. And so Joseph has been sold to this guy. So imagine, God says, hey, I've given you a dream, but you're going to have leadership. You're going to have influence, so much so that your family is going to bow down to you. And then, immediately right after that, he gets thrown into the pit, left for dead, sold into slavery, and now in a completely new area, a new position of life, and it seems like life is just going haywire. And I can imagine the conversations and thoughts in Joseph's mind. I mean, I know I would. Like, think about it. Like, God, they were supposed to be bowing down to me. Now I'm a slave in a different country. Like, now I have to be a master. Now I have to learn. I'm by myself. I don't know anyone. And yet this is happening. Like, really? God. And so he's having these conversations. We're going to pick up here in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Then we'll skip a little bit for the sake of time, and then we're going to jump to the end of the chapter, towards the end of the message. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Verse 1, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. See, I wasn't lying. I'm totally sure. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and lived in the house of the Egyptian master. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household, and he entrusted him to care everything he owned. From that time, he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned. And the Lord blessed the household with the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. And this is a picture. So imagine, it turns quickly here as we see. Joseph is sold into slavery. Now he's in the completely unknown, uncharted territory. And he gets put into this Potiphar's house. And Potiphar all of a sudden looks and goes, wait a second. This guy's different. Like, something's happened. It's almost like everything this guy touches turns to gold. It's like he has this special wisdom, like this special anointing. And in the workforce or job field, it's like, wow, how are you so good with people? How are you so good with the decisions that you're making? How are you so good with all of this? And Joseph gets to turn back and go, well, I believe God maybe is just giving me favor. And it was so much favor, so much blessing that Joseph, his attitude was so much towards making this place better where he was, that Potiphar took back and said, wow. Like, you need to have more responsibility. Have you noticed that the good thing about work is when you're good at something, you don't get, like, less work to do, you get more work to do, right? They're like, oh, hey, you're doing awesome. Here, take this division, too. But Joseph, this is what happens. He's moving up, getting more influence, more responsibility. But this is why Joseph is such an incredible story. It's because he was just sold to be a servant in this household. His family betrayed him. Can you imagine? I would think it would be bad if just random people did, but these are your brothers. Like, your brothers betrayed you. They were supposed to be family. Like, nothing is thicker than blood, right? But yet these people sold him and cast him out, left him for dead for all that they know. But Joseph, he steps back and goes, okay, God's given me a dream. He's given me a vision for my life. It does not look like it right now. In fact, if I were to have friends that I knew, they would probably tell me, hey, it's over. Like, why do you still even worship this God? Like, obviously it's not working. You were wrong. Somebody was wrong because look at this. But Joseph, he doesn't have that mindset. He says, you know what? I can't control what happens to me because this world is broken. This world is sinful. Bad things happen. Jason talked about this last week. Bad things happen. We live in a world where God is saying, hey, I give people a choice. This is free will. And they do not choose to do the good thing every single time that they make decisions and make actions. In fact, they can make bad decisions that just turn this world upside down. And on top of that, we live in a broken world where the earth is even has sin and is broken, and we see different things happen even around us, so we can't control what happens around us. But Joseph gives us a picture. He's saying, as a follower of God, as a follower of Christ, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control what comes through us. And Joseph decides. He doesn't decide to sit back in his prison cell. Maybe for a week. We don't know. The Bible doesn't allude to that. But he goes back. He doesn't sit back in the corner of his cell in the dark and say, woe is me. Like, this is, I can't believe this happened. God has forsaken me. I am all alone. Joseph walks in and goes, okay, this is where I'm at, God. Use me here. I'm right here in this house. And God says, hey, I'm going to bless you. And I believe it was because of the position of Joseph's heart. And where he said, hey, my brothers may have betrayed me, but God, I'm sticking with you. God, I may have been left alone, but I'm still going to walk in your plan and in your purpose, because he understood that he can't control what happened to him, but he's controlling what comes through him. And you and I, and this is so good, because I believe Joseph, like, in this moment in the Old Testament, we see this theology where the Holy Spirit would only descend on certain people at certain times. Because they haven't had Jesus come to fulfill the Old Testament and that the new temple where God would dwell in the Holy of Holies all of the time in the one particular place, in one particular area in the temple. Because when Jesus came, you notice in the Bible what it says, when he died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And it was a symbol of saying, hey, God is no longer represented just in one particular place in the Holies of Holies where you and I will have to go through a high priest to interact with God and to have atonement for our sin. He said, no, Jesus was the atonement for your sin, and for my sin was the punishment and the payment for our sin. And so now we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we don't have to go through a high priest. But it says that Jesus in Hebrews is our high priest. That we come through Christ and get to come to the very throne room of God. When you pray, when I pray, we don't have to go and sit and say, hey, high priest, can you do this? Can this happen? No, we go through the blood of Jesus Christ and say, God, I come before you. My prayers are reaching you, not because of what I have done, but because of what Christ has done. That's the privilege and the honor in the position that you and I get as sons and daughters of the Most High King. That is incredible, and that is beautiful. Because in the Old Testament, God came and said, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to honor you. But we as New Testament Christians, everywhere you go, we get to have the presence of God with us. And I want to show you here real quick in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, and now you Gentiles, and that he uses that as a broad term, anybody outside of a Jewish person, he says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Holy Spirit is God. And that is God living inside of you, living inside of me. And so I know I've said this before, but I think it's worth reiterating that when you go to work, when you go into your house, when you go into your neighborhood, it is not just you going to that place. You carry, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, the living God inside of you. Your presence is not just your presence. And when you walk into work, that light walks into work with you. And when you walk into your workplace, when you walk into your home, that light walks in with you, and you will never, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise, and the Holy Spirit is the seal of that promise. He's saying, even in the trial and in the fire, I'm going to be with you. And isn't the Bible beautiful? How God wrote the Old Testament and gave us like little windows and foreshadows of the future of saying, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to be in the fire, and I'm going to walk with them in the fire so that you know as a New Testament Christian, no matter where you go, I'm going to be with you as well. And God is saying, hey, I'm walking with you. The Holy Spirit is with you, and you will never have to even fear. Perfect love drives out fear. You don't have to fear because the Holy Spirit is living in us. And so for us to think about, you and I, let's just take that way off. We can't control what happens to us. On Monday, you can't control other people's decisions. You can't control your boss's decisions. You can't control what happens in this world. But what we can take that weight off. That's freeing, isn't it? To think about, like, I can't control that, but what I can do is can control what comes through me. And that even though somebody may betray me, somebody may give me a heartache, and it may be incredibly hard, and I feel like I'm in the fire, I can step back and yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit begin to flow through me. Love, joy, peace. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. God is saying, I want you to have self-control when nobody else is having self-control. And that is you and I yielding to our fleshly and sinful desires and going, oh, I want to punch him in the face, right? Like, but God is saying, hey, the fruit of the Spirit is when you yield to that and go, nope, that's not of God. This is of God. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. He gives us all this list. And God begins to paint a picture and he's saying, you can control what comes through you. Because in those hard moments, what comes through you reflects a holy God. And we get to experience that, a living God inside of us. And Joseph gives us this picture, and in this moment, and teaches us this in this house. And I love that when Joseph comes in, it says that Potiphar's entire house, his entire house was blessed. Just because Joseph walked into the house, everybody else in that house was blessed. Like Potiphar's like, I don't even have to worry. Only thing I got to worry about is what I'm going to have to eat for dinner. Like Joseph is taking care of everything. That's how much he trusts Joseph, who he bought, right? Who is his servant, but yet he felt comfortable and trust him enough. He said, you take everything off my plate. I trust you. You have a special anointing favor on your life. Like, just take that from me. And yet, around me, I love this, and I see this all throughout the Bible, and this is not like a coin term, but I call this the proximity principle. That whenever you and I get into proximity of other people, they get to experience some or a piece of the blessing that God has given us. Like, I want to be so overflowing with the favor of God that that's one of my prayers. God, please give, I walk into a meeting or whatever, God, please give me favor in this meeting. God, please go before me. And I want to be a river. I want to hold on to the blessings that you give me. I want when whoever's in proximity of me, I want them to go, woo, I love being close to Daniel because he's so close to God. He's blessing him, and I get blessed because of it as well. And I believe that it is a leadership even principle for you and I that when we walk in even maybe to our job, our workplaces, to find somebody who in that context is following Jesus closely. And if we just get into proximity of them, we begin to learn their ways, learn what they're doing, learn more about how God is interacting and the wisdom to take God's word and to apply it into real life.
Because that is a sign of maturity and how God is growing that person. But if that proximity, let me just get close to them, what it looks like. And so Joseph begins to grow. And as he's walking, and now he's over everything. He's in Potiphar's house. But remember, I said that Joseph was a good-looking young man. He looks a lot like Jordan Keeter, okay? He's got muscles. He's just a handsome, handsome man. And so Potiphar's wife, she starts seeing Joseph. She's like, oh, hey, Joseph, how you doing, right? Like, I see you in here. You're over everything. You got power. You got influence. Like, you're a young man. And so she starts eyeballing him. And one night, she realizes, like, hang on. This is just me and Joseph. Like, this is my shot. This is my opportunity. And so, like, she comes in, she's all, like, trying to be seductive, you know, like, I don't know how you be seductive, but she's like, hey, Joseph. She's coming in, she's just walking up to him, and she's like, hey, Joseph. And she tries to get him to sleep with her. And Joseph sees this, that he is not in a great situation. And I love Joseph, and it's so good, because Joseph, in that moment, realizes where he is. And this, he can't control what happens to him. He did not ask her to come at him. He did not say, hey, the Bible does not tell us that he even alluded or flirted with her in this moment. She just thought she could have it, and so she went to him, and he can't control that, but he can control what comes through him, right? And so right now, he was like, I'm not in a good situation, and the man runs. Like, the Bible literally says, he's like, nope. See ya, I'm not doing this. And he ran out of there so fast that she's holding on to his jacket, and the jacket comes off his body, and she's left holding his jacket, humiliated, like, just, she came on to him, you shouldn't treat me like that, I'm the Potiphar's wife, how could you do that? And so she's hurt, she's trying to cover her tracks now. Joseph is gone, is he going to go tell Potiphar what has happened? And so Joseph flees that situation. And there's a principle, I think, here that we cannot skip over, is that Joseph realized that the temptation was coming right here in this moment, and it was a temptation for him to sin. And he realized that temptation was for him to sin, and sin will detour our dream that God has given us. That sin will detour us. Sin will keep us separated and away from God's vision for our life. And then when we fall into the temptation of sin and continue down that road, it'll detour us from that God-given vision and dream for our life. I mean, think about the Israelites, right? They started complaining, turning from God, and what happened? They were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God is saying, hey, I'll care more about your heart than what you can accomplish on this earth. I'd rather have you and your heart pure first, because if I give you too much too fast and your heart is not ready, you will take my name and you will run it through the mud, right? Like, God doesn't need us to defend him, but yet he cares more about our heart first, the condition of our heart. And he's saying, I want your heart right first. And then understand that when we get even in that moment, take on the mentality of Joseph, like, woo, this is a temptation and I'm going to run. And I think this applies to so much in our job, that somebody maybe wants you to forge something or take something that is not, you know what you were supposed to do in that situation. God is saying, can turn, allow that moment to be a boundary. And I would even take it a step further and to say, hey, that God says, take every thought captive and give it to Christ. And so right there in that moment, we realize this thought could lead to a sin. This thought could lead to a temptation. And we even think about, like, all of those things and saying, in that moment, right now, I can choose to surrender that thought to Christ and not pursue that, not go down that road any further, and run from it. And think about all the things that begin to grow and fester, inappropriate text from somebody that's not our spouse, or a message on Facebook, or a website we're not supposed to go down, or anything. All of a sudden, it's just this single temptation, and God is going, hey, no, that sin will detour your heart, detour your dream. And if we take the personality and the vision and the heart of Joseph and go, I don't want any part of that, I want to pursue more towards Jesus, that because I can control what comes through me, and I don't want to give into that temptation of sin. And so I want to move because I believe in this God-given dream that is before me and on my life. And God's way said, the closer I stick to him, the further he will get me along. And not saying that, hey, if I stick close to Jesus, I'm going to move up the ranks. We see that even in Joseph's life. But everywhere Joseph goes, everybody recognizes he's the Jesus. Because he can't control what happens to him, but he can control what comes through him. And Joseph sees this over and over again. And Joseph continues here. And so we see that. And we pick up here in verse 16. That now, because of this story, Potiphar's wife before, she's upset. She's trying to cover her tracks, and she's like, ah, I can't believe this happened. And so she lies on Joseph, and this is what she says. She kept his cloak beside her until the master came home. That's Potiphar. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story of his wife, that had told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge, here we go, of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success at everything he did. We start to see a theme in Joseph's life, right? You can put Joseph anywhere at any time, and he's going to walk in with the blessing and favor of God because he's saying, oh, back in prison. I mean, if anybody could step back and go, really, God? Right? Like, I'm prison? Like, that's not where, like, you gave me a dream. People are going to be bowing down to me. And I'm in prison? This is not going how I thought. God, this is, I can't believe this has happened. You are doing this to me. You're allowing, I thought you were a sovereign God, right? Like, I thought this was it. But yet you left me. And here I am. But Joseph decides, you know what? It's not happening exactly now. But wherever, God, you place me, I may not have all the answers, but God, I'm going to trust you. And even though it looks like all around me the world is caving in, God, I'm going to choose to praise you in this moment. I'm going to choose to follow you in this moment, God. I'm going to choose to pursue you and allow your word, your blessing to come through me. And God saw the heart of Joseph, and he continued to bless him. So much so where the same pattern begins to happen. He starts moving. He is a prisoner. And now he's running the prison. I mean, come on, somebody. That's good right there. Like, he is locked up. He can't get out. And yet the warden goes, you know what? I trust you so much. I'm not thinking about anything else. You're in charge of everything. And you do it. You're a prisoner. I know. I understand. But I trust you so much that you wouldn't leave. You wouldn't let anybody out. You wouldn't start any chaos. You have so much wisdom on your life that I trust you in this. And all of a sudden, he moves up the ranks. And this last thing that I want to understand here that is such a powerful principle is that God can use you where you are. God can use you where you are. Every single person in this room or may hear this message down the road, no matter where you are in your life, in your situation, you and I can take the position of Joseph and go, you know what? Maybe I'm sitting in sin right now, but I can stop and I can run from it, and then repent, turn away from the sin and move towards God. I can do that right now, just like Joseph did. And right now, God, now my heart is ready. God can use me. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, what situation we're in. God is saying, hey, I have the ability and the strength to use you no matter your age, no matter your color, no matter where your social economic status, wherever you are, God can use you. God can use me, and I honestly believe with my whole heart, and you can't convince me otherwise, God's given you a unique dream that is unique to anybody else on this planet, that he has placed you in 2018 in the low country in Bluffton for a reason. You see, there are prisoners in here that Joseph is placed and sat next to that God was like, woo, Joseph don't know it. It's going to look like a trial, but I'm about to put my presence through Joseph next to these prisoners and to this warden. And now the entire prison is under the care of this man who is following God, who's surrendering his life to him, who is not bitter in the moment, but is saying, God, work through me. And God uses him. And all of a sudden, this is just the beginning. This is all the story today, but it's going to continue to build. And we're going to see how this is just the beginning of how God has used him. I remember in my life, some of you already told this, some, but maybe you're new and just started coming. But I started out, my bachelor's degree is in early childhood education. And I went into teaching. And I was excited. God had a certain theme in my life of teaching. And so I was teaching fourth grade social studies and science. Hey, right? So good. And by the end of the year, kids were reading their Bibles and all this other stuff. And so God had placed things on my life where he was calling me into ministry. And I was just telling Siobhan about the whole story and saying, hey, I remember walking to her office and resigning and because I believe God's called me into ministry. And she's like, you got a job lined up yet? And I was like, let's see what the thing is. But I just knew God had placed me, given that vision, given that dream, that calling on my life. And so I remember doing that. And I started volunteering in the middle school ministry at one particular church, started leading Bible studies. They'd let me preach from time to time. I started plugging in. I mean, anywhere I could go that would let me teach. Like, they were, youth detention center, all these different things. I would go in and do that. And then finally, one of my really good friends at our sending church, Crossroads Church, called and said, hey, well, we're about to split our student ministry. It's growing. Would you want to take over the middle school ministry? And of course, I was like, yes, here we go. Okay, I believe this is God's calling my life. And I worked for about 3 months. And I called into the office. And he looks at me and goes, hey, I believe you have a calling on your life. But I don't believe you're ready for the level that our church is at right now. And they let me go. And I remember having a Joseph moment, like, you kidding? I remember going back vividly. My gold Ford Ranger, he drives a gold Ranger. I'm going to my gold Ford Ranger, sitting in there and just hitting the steering wheel going, God, I know you called me. In fact, I know you've called me to this church. For some reason, I just knew I was supposed to be there. And God taught me something in that moment. He's saying, Daniel, I called you to be a pastor. I didn't call you to have a title anywhere. Like, I called you to follow me. I didn't call you to have a particular title. And I learned something so powerful in those moments that it is not about me. And God said, hey, you get back out of this truck, go back in that church. Like, this time, like, God was speaking to me. It was just, you know, it wasn't like an audible voice, but it's one of those moments where you're praying and God's just impressing things on your heart. And you have to trust that feeling, because in that moment, I'm just surrendering God. And God starts pressing things and saying, hey, go back in there. Go back in there. I didn't call you to hold that title. Okay, you got a title. Woo-wee, right? I called you to do ministry. And so I went back for 3 months. I was the middle school pastor, fired, working at that church until they were interviewing other people for my position the whole time. And in that, was it fun all of the time? No. But in that moment, God taught me this principle. He's saying, Daniel, you can't control what other people do, but you can control what comes through you. And in fact, about 3 months later, they called me in my office and they said, you know what? You've handled this whole situation. Like, you just spoke to us, and we really feel like God's growing you. We want to help you grow, so we're just going to bring you on full time for the position. I'm like, what? Right? And so all of a sudden, the tide has shifted. 8 years later, they're still supporting us. They sent us out and saying, hey, we're behind you 100%. And that's, I believe, a testament of what God is saying. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control what comes through you. And surrender that God can use us anywhere, at any time, no matter who we are. And maybe you walked in this morning and you were ready to give up. You were ready to quit. And you said, you know what, I can't do it anymore. And I hope that you walk out of this place a little bit more encouraged, going, you know what, my God can hold back the seas at any moment. My God can be in the fire with me and allow me to come through that trial stronger, closer to him, and to have more wisdom. So my prayer is that you do not give up, that you rest more in his promise, rest more in his truth, and believe and lean a little bit more into the dream that he has placed inside of your heart. And I believe that maybe you don't know what that dream is right now. And my recommendation to you is seek God. Seek Jesus. If you just seek him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, be soaked in his word. Get a proximity person. Get around people who are following him, who are following God's plan for their life. And you start doing that, and I promise you, God will begin to reveal the steps that he has for your life. But Jesus is the prize. He is the prize in all of it. But for you and I to live the dream, we are to pursue Jesus first. And to be encouraged by his word. Encouraged by his truth. And so I want to pray for us this morning. The band's going to come back up and we're going to sing one last song together in worship. But I want to take just a few moments and pray for you. Pray for our church. And just pray for maybe what God's placed on your heart. And I always stop and I always want to give this opportunity. Because the very first step is if you do not know that you have a relationship with Christ, or you do not have a relationship with Him, His first thing that He wants for your life is to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Before anything else, that's what He wants. He is saying, hey, I want you. You are, like, I love you. I am there for you. That you are broken in your sin, and I can heal you in that moment. I can give you fresh life. I can give you hope. I can redeem you. He's saying, hey, that is our first step, no matter where we go, but right now. And so if you're still questioning, or maybe you don't know if you have a relationship with Him, my prayer is that today you wouldn't leave this place, because you do not have to. The free gift is on the table. Jesus is saying, it's there. I've died. I've paid the price. My power, I've proved it. My resurrection, the gift is there. Now it's on you to accept it. The power has already happened. And so during this song, maybe you want to come, you know, grab me and say, hey, I need Jesus. I want to accept Him. And I hope you have the boldness and the courage to come talk to me. Or if you don't, maybe you want to talk to Jason or Jordan or some of these guys maybe you've gotten close to, or Christy who sings up here. If you feel more comfortable, we'd love for you to have that moment. But for the rest, as we're talking, and praying, maybe you have just gotten down. You felt defeated. And you're saying, God, I had this dream, this vision of how my life was going to go, and it's not. I just pray right now that you and I get to step back and have the heart of Joseph and go, God, okay, it's not happening how I thought it was going to happen. Maybe I've made some mistakes, maybe they've made some mistakes, but God, right now, use me. God, fill me up, encourage me. Maybe there's some acts or some things in our life that we need to eliminate. We need to say, God, I'm giving that up, and I'm pursuing you. And I'm praying that God speaks to your heart and you make that move today. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is so rich, so life-giving. God, and I pray that you will fill us up today. God, I pray for favor. I pray for continued grace, God. I know that you want to use every single person who can hear the sound of my voice. And I pray that you fill them up, God. I pray that you give them this holy discontent until they move towards that dream, move towards that passion, God, that we are not gaining time, we are losing time. And while we're on this earth, God, use us for your glory. And I pray that you give us the courage to say, you know what, I don't want that in my life anymore. It's causing me to sin, God. I need to release that. Jesus, I need to follow you. I pray that if maybe I need to take a step closer, I pray that I find maybe one name today that I'm going to start trying to move closer to their life that has their following Jesus. I pray that you reveal names on people's minds and hearts right now. God, I pray that if anybody walked in and said, you know what, I'm done. I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you give them strength. You give them healing in this moment. I pray that you fill their heart up. I pray that you strengthen their steps, that their scars are not wounds for their life to look back on, but those scars are stories of how you have moved and how you are faithful even in the brokenness, God. I pray that you continue to move inside of our lives and hearts, and we will trust you, God. Oh, I'm so hungry as we as a church decide, you know what, God, I want more of you. God, and I want to join you on this journey as a group of people who say, you know what, God, I'm all in. Use me right now where I'm at. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's continue to worship.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.